All right. This motherfucker working, man. We in this bitch, man. Episode 181, man. Thin line between genius and insanity podcast. Hosted by yours truly. OG! It's a live stream, man. We in this bitch. Let's go ahead and get it rocking.
Welcome to Raw is
OG!
Hatch, man. You know the fuck that nigga playing with me, man.
DJ, hit me! Yes, sir. What's poppin' with y'all? Welcome back to another motherfucking episode of the Thin Line Between Genius and Insanity podcast, hosted by yours truly. OG! Now spin that block, man. I'm feeling damn motherfucking me good, man. It's a live stream episode, man. Let them know your boy has always been.
For the bitches, nigga. For the bitches, nigga. For the bitches, nigga. For the bitches, nigga.
Oh, fly as high, as cool, as smooth as host of them all. OG! Hatch, what the fuck it is, man. Pigtails is in, ho. Pigtails is in, okay? It's one thing about my hair, man. I be expressing myself with the hair, man. When the pigtails is in, hot takes are coming. Hot takes are coming, bitch. Nah, man, but some real shit. I want some shout out to everybody around the world that's tapped and joining the conversation. I truly appreciate all love, support, man. Keep this empire brick by motherfucking brick. Shout out to everybody that's tapped into the live stream, man. If you're on YouTube right now, Facebook right now, Twitch right now, Twitter right now. Hey, man, shout out to you, man. Keep this empire brick by motherfucking me brick. Tell a friend, OG Hatch got a motherfucking me podcast. For the people that's tapped in on all DSPs, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Anchor, I will never forget you guys. My motherfucking me day ones, man. Keep this fucking show going, man. The fucking numbers are outrageous, man. The downloads, the streams, oh my God. Drop a wow, please.
Wow.
I'm doing it. We fucking doing it, man. On the grind 200. This shit don't stop for a motherfucking me soul. Episode 180, motherfucking me one. Jesus fucking Christ. Jesus fucking Christ, man. I fucking love it, man. Let's go ahead and get right into it, man. It's a whole lot of shit on the motherfucking me docket. Let's go ahead and get right into it. You know, I feel like these last couple episodes, you know, I've been coming here on some real personal shit. You know what I'm saying? Family issues. You know, the me being a victim of a hate crime. Car being vandalized and shit like that. It's been a rough, you know, it's been a rough couple of weeks for your boy. It's been a rough couple of motherfucking weeks for your boy. So with this episode, I just want to have a little bit of fun. Didn't have anything serious I really want to talk about, but I do want to talk about the things that's kind of going crazy on social media right now. Let's get into this Funny Marco situation, man. I think it's important for me to say this. As I discuss this Funny Marco situation, I'm not a fan of Funny Marco. This is not me hating on Funny Marco, but I'm not a fan. That type of humor, I just don't get it. If you don't know who Funny Marco is the originator. He's the black. He's the starter of that whole Bobby Altoff type shit. If you know who Bobby Altoff is, you know her whole thing is being awkward, being cringe. And to be honest with you, it's kind of fucked up that to describe Funny Marco, you have to sit here and say, he does what Bobby Altoff does. When he fucking started this shit is fucking crazy.
Wow.
She took that. She KFC'd this nigga. Like, she really KFC'd the nigga. Took the nigga recipe and just started going crazy with the shit. It's fucked up. You have to even mention Shorty to describe what Funny Marco does. When Funny Marco was pounding the pavement, doing this shit with people within the culture this entire time. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't think the nigga's funny, but I am in the minority. I'm okay with that. Why Funny Marco is in the news cycle right now is Funny Marco had guests on his show. Who did he have? He had the one and only G Herbo. Everybody fucks with G Herbo. Come on, man. It's G Herbo. I remember fucking with G Herbo when niggas thought G Herbo was whack. Like, niggas called me. Niggas told me I was trying to be different because I thought G Herbo was nice back then. Come on, man. He also had, what's the nigga name, 808 Southside, Young Miami's baby daddy? I told you how I feel about that nigga. I actually feel bad for 808 Southside. Like, that nigga has a baby by a woman who's a proud side bitch. Like,
wow.
Because I ain't going to lie to you. Like, at a certain point in time, niggas going to look at you funny when your baby mama's proudly saying she getting pissed on by a nigga we think killed Tupac. Like,
wow.
When Brother Love is pissing on your baby mama, look, brother, you know, you shouldn't be the nigga on camera doing the things you was just doing to Funny Marco. I'm gonna be honest with you. You need to be directing all that hatred and vitriol to Brother Love. But they're on Funny Marco's show. I actually don't know the name of the show. I don't really tap in with it, but I've seen the clips going viral. You've seen all the Funny Marco's episodes that go viral. If you tap in on Instagram, Twitter, X, I should say. I'm on social media, period. But there's clips going around that's painting a narrative of that Funny Marco is being bullied. Funny Marco, in my eyes, was getting Funny Marco. I guess the overall question, man, just to get right into it, because I don't want to dance around the shit. Is Funny Marco a victim or is Funny Marco a bitch ass
nigga? Wow.
Is Funny Marco a bitch ass nigga, bro? Look, I understand the amount of people who jump to Funny Marco's defense when they see a nigga looking awkward, feeling like he's uncomfortable and shit, and niggas popping they shit in their face. But we can't get away from what this nigga does. His job is literally to do that to other celebrities. When he's up there asking them stupid-ass, rhetorical-ass, dumb-ass questions to make the person look stupid and make the situation awkward, why, when it's done to him, it's been him being bullied? Now, granted, you have to take into mind who's the niggas that's doing it to him. You got two niggas who are street niggas, hood niggas, who really don't know shit else, but if we gonna fuck with a nigga, that mean we gonna, like, make that nigga feel like he ain't shit type shit. That's really how that goes. They're not going to be as witty as you, Funny Marco. They're not going to be the niggas up there, you know, so trying to get you trapped in the jokes. No, what they're going to do is just keep pulling your whole core. That's how shit usually goes in the hood. I'm sorry.
Wow.
That's usually how the shit goes. When niggas is teasing and poking fun with a nigga, sometimes it just comes off as them pulling your whole core. Now, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm not gonna sit here and say, I know you may sit here and see the 6'4", you know what I'm saying, 275, 280 pound nigga that's on your screen right now. A nigga hasn't tried to pull my whole card since like elementary, my nigga. I'm gonna be honest with you. So, but I'm not gonna sit here and act like the shit doesn't happen. I bring up my age to say this about Funny Marco. As a content creator, granted, you're on a much, much larger platform than me. Kudos to you, my brother. But as a content creator, there's a point in line to where shit ain't jokes no more. It comes a point in time to where if you feeling uncomfortable as a grown-ass man, at what point in time when them niggas took your $30,000 watch and they threw your shit on the ground, at what point in time as a man did you not think you need to stand up for yourself?
Wow.
I mean, at what point in time, because I guess you a content creator, I mean, you probably in the mind of, let's get this shit on tape. But at that moment in time when G Herbo threw that cup and it hit you dead in your motherfucking face, as a man, you didn't think it was time to stand up for yourself?
Wow.
But see, the people got to look at this shit for what it truly motherfucking is, dog. You know, when you don't really got shit to say and you always talking, motherfuckers don't really value or respect you for real. See, we see a lot of Funny Marco, but the shit he be saying ain't really valuable. He ain't giving game. You know what I'm saying? So he's only going to be pigeonholed into what? The circus, the clown, the, you know what I'm saying, the court jester ass nigga. When you get viewed and you pigeonholed into that court jester ass role, shit like this happens. If he was a nigga that they really felt like you be dropping, you may be funny, you may be doing your little witty shit, but if you was a nigga they felt like had some actual substance, I ain't saying you gotta be a street nigga. But if you was a nigga they just felt like actually had some type of value, instead of being some goofball ass nigga, they wouldn't have treated you like a goofball ass nigga. I'm being dead ass serious with you. See, a lot of times we act like we don't know how this shit goes. Man, this shit goes back to high school, man. All this shit goes back to high school, man. That's one thing I can say about high school that really taught me about life. It was never the curriculum. It wasn't the shit that was going to be taught in classes. It was the social aspect of how mother groups of people, you know what I'm saying, coexisted amongst each other. That's what I took from high school. And God damn it, when I went off to college and I stayed on campus, it's even on a grander scale. El Grande, bitch. That's what I took from high. All this shit goes back to high school, man. When you the court jester, clown, goofy ass nigga, when niggas only look at you for he and a ha ha. Now I don't know Dave Chappelle shit to where some real shit sprinkled in there. Not even on no fucking stand-up comic shit. You just a goofy, silly motherfucker. You ain't like, you just a goofy, silly ass nigga. So them niggas don't come in. They gonna come in and they gonna treat you like the goofy ass, silly ass nigga that you only portraying. So once that's being done, so you can't be the nigga running off to motherfucking me social media, acting like you was a motherfucking me victim. No, nigga, they pulled a you on you. You just don't like it. Fuck the you feeling uncomfortable. Fuck the video. As a fucking man, why'd you even put that out? You put it out because you want the clout. You put it out because you want the narrative to go a certain motherfucking me way. But I'm sorry, as a grown ass motherfucking me man, I'm never going to look at you as a motherfucking me victim in this situation. You didn't stand up for yourself. You're not going to sit there and tell me you didn't have nobody there with you. Come on, my nigga. You on a fucking set, bro. You a content creator. You got a name for yourself. You have some type of security rolling through that bitch. Even if you don't have security, yo, somebody in that motherfucker's cool enough with you to the point where if you finna get your ass tag team in that bitch, somebody gonna break it up. You paying motherfuckers in that room, brother. Where's your camera crew? Where's the producers? Where's somebody? You don't have an assistant? How are you letting these two niggas take off your jewelry, throw your shit on the ground, break your shit? What you valued at 30K? How are you letting niggas throw items in your face? How are you letting niggas take over your show? Look, man. One would look at this and say, this nigga wish he had that platform. You absolutely right. I wish I was in a position to where I can have a fucking G Herbo and an 808 Southside come on my shit. But you know why niggas wouldn't do that shit to me? It's because niggas that know what I'm feeling, what we talking about is going to be some real nigga shit. Yo, 808 Southside, how the fuck do you feel about your baby mama being a proud side bitch?
Wow.
G Herbo, what's up, my nigga? Look, we got to talk about this shit, bro. What's up with you and Moneybagg? Yo, why you ain't bringing this shit up while niggas is sitting there fucking violating you? I just think, man, sometimes as a man, bro, you got to stand up for your fucking self. And I shouldn't have to say that to a grown ass man. But when you a goofball ass nigga, when you a clown ass nigga, niggas gonna treat you like a clown goofball ass nigga. I don't know Funny Marco. Funny Marco could be a fucking tough stand-up guy. But it isn't even about being tough. It's about having moral. It's about fucking being a fucking proud man. If shit crossed a line throughout that motherfucking me interview, it should have been addressed there. And even if you did freeze up and you did fall back into that mode of being stuck between content creator and, you know what I'm saying, standing on business, as I must say. Even if you were stuck in that mode, don't get me wrong. It happens to the best of us. I'm not saying I'm exempt from it. It happens to the best of us. But even if you were frozen up in that moment, you just didn't know how to react, or you just thought shit was going to pop off, you didn't want to take it that, you don't want to take it there, it wasn't that serious, why put out the fucking footage?
Wow.
I know why you put out the fucking footage, because you need something. You need this fucking moment right now. And I'm not trying to shit on you, brother, but you need this fucking moment. I just seen Bobby Altoff and Scarlett Johansson. My nigga.
Wow.
Scarlett motherfucking Scarlett Johansson, B. Marvel, Avengers. You know what I'm saying? I just seen her interviewing her. And she pulled the whole, you know what I'm saying, code switch shit again. Talking to her normal voice and acting normal with Scarlett Johansson. But she's doing nose moves. So I get why you put this out, even though it makes you look like a straight bitch ass nigga. You need to talk. I heard your show's on a new platform. You need this shit. I get the play, my nigga. There's a grown ass man. I don't know if you got kids. I don't know if you got little brothers. I don't know if you got fucking people that just fucking is proud that you made it. But as a grown ass man, how do you sit there and let niggas destroy your jewelry? How do you sit there and let niggas tell you to shut the fuck up on your own show? How do you sit there and let niggas throw objects off your fucking dome, my nigga? What's so funny now, Marco? What the fuck is so funny now? You niggas be one of them clicks too bad, man. It would have been a sparring match in that bitch. G Herbo, is you really going to jail, nigga?
Wow.
You finna tell me you did all this fraud shit for exotic pets?
Wow.
Huh? 808 Southside, your girl is getting pissed on by Brother Love.
Wow.
The nigga that we think killed Tupac fucking your girl, B. In 2023, you would think a nigga's tied to the nigga that killed Tupac is fucking your girl? Come on, 808. See, what's funny now, Marco? Fucking nothing, man. Moving on. And we gotta get into this Breakfast Club shit, man. You know, I like many of us, obviously, we all fuck with the Breakfast Club. You have Charlamagne and guy who's a big influence on my life. I think Charlamagne is one of those guys, man, who just without his influence, I honestly don't think I really took this route in becoming a podcaster. And the reason why I say it is because Charlamagne and guy is one of those people who just his raw, authentic energy, I honestly didn't think was fucking possible to have on a syndicated radio show. Now, granted, I'm coming up in a different era than fucking back in the day, so I don't know about all that shit back in the day. I can only talk about the shit I was hearing on the radio back in St. Louis. Like, them niggas were just witty, funny niggas, some young niggas, you know what I'm saying? Kibo Gotti and all them niggas, D-Stone, all them niggas was just funny niggas. They wasn't giving it up how Charlamagne was giving up. So when I came across Charlamagne the God, I honestly thought this shit was just fucking beyond me. What's the white nigga named Howard Stern? I honestly thought Charlamagne was on some black Howard Stern. I honestly fucking did when I was growing up. The reason why I bring it up now is because the Breakfast Club has found their way into some shit.
Wow.
If you don't know what's going on, man, DJ Envy, who's a co-host, A Mike, B Mike, have the fuck you want to slice it up between him and Charlamagne. They've both been on the radio show for 10 years now. DJ Envy has been, you know, respected DJ in his field. He's been known as a nigga who gets a lot of fucking money, B. That's one thing I've always noticed, DJ. He gets a lot of fucking money, a lot of cars, a lot of exotic motherfucking cars. You know the situation recently with him and Tyrese, the situation with him and Rick Ross, the situation with him and Gunplay. Like, Envy has been in some shit as of late, but I think this absolutely takes the cake. What's been happening is DJ Envy has caught himself up in some possible Ponzi scheme, possible real estate, RICO. He had a business partner who has just been picked up today by the feds in regards to fraudulent real estate shit. The nigga, I think they said he got over, total was like over $15 million type shit in investments, you know, to fake properties he didn't even own. Like, total, it's like $15 million from different motherfucking people. And it's just a whole fucking scheme this entire time. He was scamming niggas. A lot of people were introduced to this fella because of the Breakfast Club. Now, I'll be honest with you. I remember when all this shit started. The Breakfast Club, for some strange reason, started doing a lot of like ad shit with the YouTube shit. That's kind of where all this shit started kicking off. When I started seeing like lawyer ads and shit popping up all on their shit just started taking a little bit turn on the creative aspect, on the marketing aspect. Around this same time, you started seeing a whole lot of like credit investor type niggas coming up. The niggas tell you what to do with your fucking money, how to get PPP loan, all type of loans and shit, how to flip houses and all. You just started seeing a lot of motherfuckers you would see on your social media feed that you would think was sketch, who has some type of a lot of followers or some shit. You started to see them motherfuckers starting to show up regularly on the Breakfast Club. And it was blowing my mind a little bit because I was like, why the fuck is these niggas on the Breakfast Club? At this point in time, I just thought it was open game. They just needed content. They were just getting at how the fuck you live. Scamming was at an all-time high on social media. So it probably would make sense to not these niggas infiltrate the culture throughout the music and the studios and being in the limelight and shit. I guess it would make sense you start bringing them in for interviews and shit. I guess. Around this same time, you start seeing them bring on like people like Earn Your Leisure podcast, who will like give you a lot of game on how to invest your money and shit like that. So they was covering all aspects of the shit. But this one particular guy, Cesar Pena, I believe his name is, they brought him on there, and he was seen to be very cool with DJ Envy. He was introduced as him and DJ Envy's business partner. Now, you have to understand, that Breakfast Club is a very credible fucking platform. Like I say, it's been on a syndicated radio show, nigga, for over 10 years. It's number one. It's in New York. This is a very I'm trusted source. You hear things on a Breakfast Club, you can pretty much take it for fucking, you know what I'm saying, for gospel type shit. That's the reputation. I bring that up to say, because that's the reputation, because it's a credible source, syndicated radio show, you wouldn't expect, well, typical people wouldn't expect scams to be going on. What said individual, the senior Cesar Pena guy, he scammed the fuck out of everyone.
Wow.
People who listen to the Breakfast Club faithfully, people who have a nice motherfucking me, you know, some amount of money and see this opportunity, which they think is so great, of investing into this apartment complex and flipping this and flipping that and all this shit, and thinking that at the end of the day, I can trust this source because I'm not meeting a guy off the street. I'm going through the Breakfast Club. I'm going through DJ Envy, a guy I've heard on radio for 15 years now, every damn day. A man you know, who you know and you view as a nigga who gets an absurd amount of money. That's one thing people always identify with Envy. He's a hustler. Not on no illegal shit, on some legal shit. However he gonna get on a radio show during the day and the clubs during the night, investments, all types of shit. That was the aura of DJ Envy. He was a get money ass nigga, a DJ who appeared to be getting money like a lot of these rappers.
Wow.
So you would see how a lot of people would be gullible enough to think this was actually legit. Me personally, I never bought into any of this shit. Now, did I think it was an actual straight Ponzi scheme scam? No. I wouldn't say those were niggas who was doing that shit. What I would say is I never looked at any of that shit and thought that shit was legit. I don't look at that shit that be on social media. Them niggas, just because they got nice cameras and a mic on their shirt, them niggas talking all clear and got some glasses on, I don't never believe any of these niggas. You know what I mean? Niggas be on social media fucking doing podcast seminars. My nigga, what are you giving me a seminar about a podcast for? Either it's going to pop or it's not. Either you going to get some niggas who fuck what you got to say or you not. If these niggas be hosting fucking podcasting, that shit's a scam. All that shit be a scam. So even when I see niggas on the Breakfast Club trying to tell me how to flip a fucking house, nigga, I can't flip no fucking house. When I see niggas telling us to give me 2K and we flip it to 30K, I don't give a fuck if it's on the Breakfast Club. I don't give a fuck if it's a fucking text chain through my fucking higher-ups at work. I don't give a fuck where this information comes from. I'm personally not going to take this shit as a legit operation. But that's not the case with people who gave this man money, which totaled up to $15 million fucking dollars.
Wow.
The reason why I truly bring it up, man, is because, yes, what he did is fucked up. You never want to hear about people getting scammed. But a lot of times, man, people get scammed. A lot of that time, it be fucking common sense was just lacking. I've been scammed before. When I first started this whole podcast shit, I was looking for somebody to do my cover art. And like a fucking noob, I went on social media, on Twitter, actually, at the time, and I asked, hey, yo, I'm looking for a graphic designer. Out of nowhere, inbox jumping. Niggas is going crazy. Of course, I thought I did my due diligence at the time. Looking back on it, didn't fucking know. It was my first time around the block. I'm just entering this new business and shit like that. Thought I did some due diligence. Thought I did enough digging around to see if somebody was credible enough. Thought I found somebody who I thought art was very good. I know I'm 28 years old. I'm supposed to be more tech savvy and shit like that. But there's a lot of things about this whole tech shit I just don't know. There's a lot of things just finding shit I don't really know. But I be in my own little world type shit. You know what I'm saying? So I wasn't able to go grab photos and put them on the internet to see if they pop up everywhere else. Some catfish type shit. Right? I wasn't able to do that. Don't know how to do it still. I ended up getting in business relationship with this person. Charged me like $400 for some shit. I thought it was pricey as fuck, but hey, I'm investing into my business. That's what I thought. Sent them the money. Got some bullshit back. They sent me what I asked, though. They sent some shit back, but it was some amateur straight bullshit. To the point to where I created the shit my damn self. We've been rocking every motherfucking me since. I say that to say, with this DJ Envy situation, will he be the one to bring the Breakfast Club down? Because when it comes to scamming people out of their money, you're going to have a lot of unhappy motherfuckers. We got to be real with you. There's lawsuits being handed out at the Caesar Pena. There's been lawsuits that has DJ Envy's name tagged on there. And the reason why I truly say will this affect the Breakfast Club entirely is because now, what the fuck is the name of the place? Is iHeart Media is being named on some of these fucking lawsuits. Now, DJ Envy's been great for the Breakfast Club. He's been great for iHeart Media. He's been great on radio. But them people not finna ride in court with you, my nigga.
Wow.
They got the one with the deepest pockets. So when it comes to motherfuckers having to pay, reimburse, you know what I'm saying, divvy out the payments and shit, more than likely it's gonna be iHeart fucking Media. They're the ones with the biggest fucking bag. And we already have Angela Yee going. I don't really know how the Breakfast Club has been since she's left. I was already kind of fizzling out. I've listened to that shit already. But even with her going, I've noticed the difference. Shout out to my cousin, Miko Grimes. She was a guest host on there for a little bit. She did a wonderful job. Shout out to my cousin. She's doing big things. But when you have lawsuits being handed out, you have one of the hosts of the show being identified as one of the main people, one of the main players in this. He says he's innocent, but people are saying you are very much responsible because they only got involved because of you. You can say you're a victim as well. Brother, these people only did business with this man because of you. And when that's the case, and now your bosses are being implicated in this as well, I don't know how this show will continue as a whole. I can see if they try to keep Charlamagne and they bring other motherfuckers in, okay. But this can be a move that can make this whole entire fucking empire crumble to the ground. It's all radio is already, we know how that shit goes. To me, I don't really know how Breakfast Club fares on radio. I know they're a syndicated show, but I only view it from the digital aspect of it. I only see it from the digital aspect of it. And I can tell you from the digital aspect, the shit don't look the same. The shit's missing something. And all this news cycle about DJ Envy scamming these people, this shit is on major news networks now. CNNBC, this shit is on major networks now. This could be something that makes this entire fucking show come to an end. Charlamagne truly don't need the Breakfast Club. He's Charlamagne the fucking guy. If anybody needs the fucking Breakfast Club, in this situation now, it will probably be DJ Envy. So this could be something that truly, you know what I'm saying, shakes up the motherfucking me operation, because now the bosses, the big wigs, are being implicated into these things because you have to hold everyone accountable once you bring scammers on your platform and they're scamming your customers. They're using your audience. You're promoting this person. You're co-signing this person. The co-sign is everything. We talked about this many times on this podcast. The cosign is everything. You have to be very careful with the people you cosign. Do I think DJ Envy is some malicious motherfucker? Absolutely not. I don't know Envy, but from what I've heard from him and just follow him over the years, I don't think DJ Envy fucking willingly put somebody on his platform that was going to scam everybody. What I truly think happened is the nigga probably fucking finessed the fuck out of DJ Envy. He probably did a legit business deal with him to get, you know what I'm saying, in good with the nigga. Probably was, you know what I'm saying, you know, rubbing his ass up with the shit, getting that whole operation ready. And once he got in good with that nigga, got his relationships and shit like that, brought him on, got his platform. Come on, man, it's turkey season around this motherfucker. It's time to go hunting on all these dumb motherfuckers who gonna give me $800,000 loans and shit like that on properties I don't even fucking own. But the amount of money this man got from people on shit he didn't even fucking own, it's magnificent, bro. Like the nigga, the dumbest crooks be some of the smartest motherfuckers. Because overall, the whole situation is dumb. But nigga, you knew you eventually was gonna get caught doing this shit. You taking large amounts of money from people, eventually you're going to get caught, my nigga. But the overall finesse to get $15 million? Hey, man. I ain't seen niggas hit licks like that since the month of me PPP loans in this bitch. Real motherfucking me talk. Hey, but moving on, man. And let's get into, You know, I kind of like how we started the episode off. You know, we talked about shit that's top, you know, more current in a news cycle. Funny Marco, DJ Envy. We got to keep it going with the current shit. Let's get to James Harden right fast. You know, James Harden is probably top five shooting guard of all time. I have Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, obviously, Dwayne Wade in front of him. He may be four. He may be four. I ain't gonna, he may be four. But I don't know. There could be someone else I can name off the top. I can name just off the top of my motherfucking head. I think James Harden, what he's doing right now, may be similar to what motherfucker said Dwight Howard was doing. Like, there's when you look at James Harden's career, you can't fucking say he's not one of those fucking guys. You can look at his regular season performance, look at his body of work, and say he's not top 75. He's not one of the greatest you've ever seen dribble a fucking ball between his legs. But what he's did to get out of Houston, what he did in Brooklyn, to get out of Brooklyn, what he did to get to Philly, what he's doing to try to get out of Philly, I don't think I've never seen anything like this, and I don't think you can pinpoint anything clear as a clear example to it in NBA history, sports history even. But I look at it as what happened with Dwight Howard, to how Dwight Howard, for a large portion of his career, you can't sit there and tell me that's not one of the greatest centers you've ever seen. Definitely one of the top 75 players of all time. But there's a large portion, 4 to 5, maybe even 6 year window towards the end of Dwight Howard's career, that's the only thing people remember. And I honestly feel like Russell Westbrook maybe was turning in that direction as well. But he's so beloved that I don't think the people will let that happen to Russell Westbrook, because they seen just how bad it was for that nigga to go to his hometown and see a nigga get booed by his hometown. It hit me even a little bit different. I don't think the people will let that happen to Russell Westbrook, but I don't think the people love James Harden the way they love Russell Westbrook. That's just me being 100% real with you, my nigga. I don't think that James Harden's legacy will survive what he's doing the last 4 to 5 years. That plus the underperforming in the playoffs, come on, my nigga. Come on, my nigga. You top 75 now. But hey, you barely on some real shit. I've seen it happen with Dwight. I didn't think they was going to do Dwight the way they did Dwight. I honestly feel like going forward, I think James Harden finna get some of that Dwight Howard love. My nigga, I really motherfucking me do. But the reason why I bring James Harden up is because James Harden didn't show up for practice and shit like that for Philadelphia 76ers. They've been releasing he's going to be getting fined for missing games and practices over like $339,000 every game of practice that he misses. It's a lot of fucking money. Thing is, James Harden has made a lot of fucking money. He has money from Adidas. That nigga got his own wine. That nigga's doing the damn thing with the wine, man. James Harden ain't missing no meals, man. That's James fucking Harden, man. He's not a nigga that you can say we're going to take some of this money and take some of that money. Hell no, not when in this contract he got prorated $18 million for the season even started. So he's sitting on $18 million already? You think threatening that man with some money going to fucking make him jump? Fuck, that's James Harden. He's proven time and time again he don't give a fuck what niggas is talking about. I think that the Philadelphia 76ers are doing a lot of things to think that the public is going to turn on James Harden, which, like I just mentioned, I don't think people love him the same way they love Russ. I can easily see James Harden getting that Dwight Howard treatment. I think Philly's banking on that. The same shit they try to do with Ben Simmons, I think they're going to try to do with James Harden. The thing is, James Harden didn't show up. I don't think it's because what people are talking about. See, there's a beef that's going on within the 76ers that they just don't want you to know about.
Wow.
Y'all know about this James Harden and Kelly Oubre situation, bro. I'm going to be real with you. This shit here, this kind of takes the cake. I ain't going to cap with you. If I'm sitting in a situation, right, And my mans, you know what I'm saying, James Harden, Daryl Morey, my mans promised me some money. And at the end of the day, for whatever fucking reason, I don't get that money. It's beef, which we clearly see. James Harden say, nigga, this shit cannot be repaired. So if we beefing and shit like that, then I come, you bring in a nigga like Kelly Oubre? Fam, the story is with this Kelly Oubre and James Harden situation is, this is alleged. I don't know how true this is, but apparently this is fucking true as fuck. Apparently what happened is a few years ago, James Harden had a girlfriend by the name of what, Sky or Shy or some shit like that. He had a party. At the party, everybody comes through. Who else comes through? Kelly motherfucking me.
Wow.
Everybody knows Kelly Oubre is the bad bitch getter. I'm not trying to sit here and say anything about the young man's looks, but the nigga got them bitches, bro. I haven't seen a bitch that wasn't on Kelly Oubre's dick, bro. It's kind of crazy type shit. Kelly Oubre is just one of them guys. Apparently, James Harden throws this party. Kelly Oubre walks in that bitch Rico Suave type shit. Apparently, Kelly Oubre ends up taking the Sky or Shy, whatever the fuck her name is. He ends up leaving James Harden's party with Shorty. This is James Harden's girl at James Harden's party. Mind you, this is James Harden.
Wow.
Kelly Oubre, as a basketball player, my nigga, he can't even fucking hold James Harden's wands at the strip club type shit. It's not even close. It's not even fucking close. This nigga walked into James Harden's birthday party, took this nigga's girl, B. Now, apparently, they went off and been happily ever after. He married Shorty. He got kids by Shorty. That's his girl. My nigga, Kelly Oubre now plays for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Wow.
My nigga, if I'm beefing with my mans who's Daryl Morey, and I'm saying all this shit, I'm talking about Daryl Morey a liar, Daryl Morey this, Daryl Morey that. Daryl Morey don't say shit in the public eye. Daryl Morey turns around and go get the nigga that took his bitch, bro. That's what Daryl Morey motherfucking me did. Now, I got to look at this from a James Harden situation. I'm going to be honest with you. Do I agree with all the other shit? Fuck no. But if you think I'm finna come to work and fucking work and pass this nigga the ball who took my bitch?
Wow.
You crazy. You took my girl and married her? You put babies in her stomach?
Wow.
I'm not throwing you no fucking lob, nigga. Ain't no back door bounce pass for you, you bitch ass nigga. Get this nigga the fuck out of here. What are we doing, y'all? That's disrespectful as fuck. I'm sorry. You can't tell me. You can't. Then when Kelly Oubre signed, he said a big part of the reason he came here is because of Daryl Morey.
Wow.
What the fuck you mean because of Daryl Morey? So first you don't give me my money, Daryl. I'm James Harden now. You don't give me my fucking money that you promised me. And you fucking backdooring by bringing in the niggas who stole my bitch and put babies in her stomach? Come on, what are we doing here? That's the part of this shit nobody's talking about. So when niggas is releasing this news that James Harden is in Houston while he in Houston not practicing with the team, yeah, I bet that nigga is in Houston. Because Kelly Oubre ass ain't in Houston.
Wow.
The fuck y'all doing bringing Kelly? So you mean tell me I'm finna be having a... You want James Harden to have to practice for games, get ready for, you know what I'm saying, pregame shoot around and shit. And the Philadelphia 76ers, like they loved ones and families and shit, start going to like the family rooms and shit like that. You mean to tell me you want James Harden to be coming in constant contact all throughout the year with his fucking ex-girlfriend? With the nigga who took his girl from his birthday party?
Wow.
What the fuck? Like, fam, look. This shit triggers me because it kind of made me think about, you know, the nigga I was cool with in high school. I thought I was cool with the nigga. Soon as I broke up with my girlfriend because I'm just mad that day. This nigga T, he got with her. They've been married ever since.
Wow.
Fucking her. What the fuck is this? I still get tight about that shit. Her ass is fat, boy. But it's like, I feel James Harden on that, fam. How do y'all bring in the nigga that stole my girl? How does this happen? This nigga stole my bitch. It shouldn't even be. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm be honest with you. In this world we live in now, women chase bags, bro. Like, I didn't think it would be possible for a Kelly Oubre. Now, Kelly Oubre gets a million suits. I wouldn't think that a chick would leave a James Harden in that manner. I get it, you know, some shit fizzles out and you just run off and you find a Kelly Oubre. But to do James Harden like that, a $500 million nigga, top five at his position of all time, the man of Houston, to leave that nigga shredded at his birthday party for a nigga that can't even fucking, you know what I'm saying, scrub his shoes, that's tough. That's fucking tough. And I don't think people are really taking into consideration the mental side, that the mental fucking prison that Philly's trying to put that nigga James Harden in. But this shit is crazy. Don't give me my money. Then you bring in my number one, my top op? Nah. Nah, B. Some shit gotta give in this bitch. Real talk. Hey, but moving on. I want to get into, you know, Walk a Flock of Flame. You know, in middle school, high school, I was a big Walk a Flock of Flame fan. Huge Walk a Flock of Flame fan. I used to fucking rap, and my name was Shot 'Em, Got 'Em, Gone. I know it's a rapper name now, a rapper now called Shot 'Em, Got 'Em. My name was Shot 'Em, Got 'Em, Gone because of Walk a Flock of Flame. Like, that was my nigga, bro. I truly fuck with Walk a Flock of Flame still to this day. When I look at Walk a Flock of Flame, bro, in all honesty, I see growth. Growth is him. He's growth, bro. Like, that nigga is growth. From what we was introduced to when we first met Waka Flocka to the nigga he is today, like, that shit is kind of inspiring, bro. I'll be honest with you. He's going viral right now for a picture he took with no one other than Donald Trump.
For the bitches, nigga. Bitches.
Wow.
He took a picture with Donald Trump. I gotta be honest, man. Do y'all remember what I remember when I think of this picture with Waka Flocka and Donald Trump? I remember 106 in Park. It was voting season. Waka Flocka was on 106 in Park with, I think it was Terrence J and somebody else. And they brought up voting and he just was stumped. He didn't know shit about voting. He didn't know shit about shit. He embarrassed the fuck out of himself. And at that time, they said 106 in Park was a big fucking show. That was probably Breakfast Club before Breakfast Club, probably. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like, considering like the equal platform, that was probably Breakfast Club before Breakfast Club type shit. So imagine him going on the platform early on in his career and they talking about voting. Some shit that they shouldn't have asked him shit about voting in the first place. It was a setup from the get-go to make him look stupid, and it very much succeeded. He looked dumb as fuck. This wasn't an era of going viral, but everyone was clowning him. Everybody was talking about this shit. He looked like a fucking dumbass. So when you fast forward, I don't know how many years later. I don't even know how many years later this is, but it's been hella since. When you fast forward and you see he has college degrees, when you fast forward and you see the business investments he's done, when you fast forward and see he's still relevant till this day, when you fast forward and you see him traveling the world and other countries performing his music, doing shit that we don't even see Gucci doing. When you see him doing that, you have to tip your fucking hat to that. But I also tip my hat to the growth that man has done from getting clowned. Look it up on YouTube. I'm not making no bullshit up for y'all that don't know what I'm talking about. For him getting clowned and ridiculed for not knowing shit about shit when it came to vote. Nigga, I don't even know what grade the fuck. I forget what year it was. Because it's blowing my mind to think that nigga has been in the rap game for that motherfucking me long. But this is at least 15 years old. To think that nigga been in the rap game that long is kind of crazy, to be honest with you. But to think that he can go from that to being able to rub shoulders next to the motherfucking me president of the United States, bro.
Wow.
That's fucking nuts. that's just flat out fucking nuts, bro. Like, that has to, no matter what you think about Trump or anything, who the president was at that time didn't even fucking matter to me. I'm focused solely on Waka Flocka at this point. To be able to go from being miseducated, me being, I think I was in elementary or middle school at the time, me knowing more about that shit than that grown-ass man at that time, from to go from that to fucking being able to be and stamp your presidential, your vote with him, you give your cosign and rub elbows and shoulders next to the fucking former president who's running for another term. That's fucking amazing, man. That shit's inspirational, dog. That is an example of, dog, you can do whatever the fuck you truly want to do. All you really got to do is take the time to educate yourself about the shit. Take the time to really apply pressure to that shit and go full tilt with it. That's amazing, bro. Like, it's funny because you know the, oh, let's do it. You know the love them gun sounds. You know the round of applause. You know all that shit. But over the years, that's not the Waka Flocka we know. The Waka Flocka we was introduced to was the family man. You know, so of course, you know, he did his cheating and shit like that. But we was introduced to him being the father to that young girl. We was introduced to the business side of Waka Flocka. We was introduced to a side of Waka Flocka that, let's be honest, we didn't think fucking existed. So as a fan, as someone who was a huge supporter, even still to this day, someone who was hugely inspired by this man, I can, and to this day, I get tired of hearing people tell me I look like this nigga. Don't tell me that shit again. But to see him grow from what he was to what he is now, that shit is fucking inspiring. I'm being honest, that shit is truly motherfucking inspiring. I do want to stick with this Trump point, though. Dude, you know everybody's open to voting for Trump again. I even said some shit like that in the past. Everyone's open to vote for Trump because we truly don't feel like Biden has really, you know what I'm saying, did anything. I just got an email today about them talking about paying back my student loans, nigga. I'm hot, nigga. Biden, if you want to fucking win again, erase them, buddy. Get to it, you old ass nigga. But I have this question I want to ask all the friends of the show. Are we more open to voting for Trump because we just, we missed what the world was before 2020, before COVID?
Wow.
Like, we understand who Trump is and every the necessary evil that he motherfucking me is. However you want to categorize, we know what we getting with Trump. But I think when we look at this presidential shit, bro, I think we all looking at hindsight, not 2020. I think we looking at hindsight on some fucking me 30-20 type shit. Because I miss what life was pre-COVID. I really motherfucking me do. I think a lot of us think back to the motherfucking me stimulus checks. I think a lot of us think back to that and just life before COVID. And we all miss that shit. We all truly do. We all pissed off right now because of what? Inflation. We all pissed off because motherfucking me wars and shit like that. We all just really want to go back to pre-COVID. And I think that's the one of the main contributing factors to why people are really looking at this presidential shit. And looking at this Trump nigga like, yo, man, we just finna put Trump ass back in office. Shit was good when Trump was in office. Not realizing it was a total different fucking world.
Wow.
It was a total different world when this nigga Trump was in office, bro. You have to understand that right now, bro, we rolling into war times, my nigga. Do y'all really think Trump is the president for war time? Like, let's just keep it a bang. Do y'all really think that? I ain't even saying Biden old ass is. I don't think nobody looks at Biden and think that that nigga is a threat. They may know what we got in the, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to the armies and weaponry and shit. But just the sight of that old ass nigga make niggas say, man, on the right day at the right time, we can take these niggas. I truly,
wow.
I truly fucking feel like that. But it's just, I think niggas is really stuck on what the world used to be. And even though we know what we're going to get with Trump, we know how he truly feels about a lot of motherfucking people that look like me. We know what that nigga feels. But I think we all just miss what shit used to be. I mean, dog, I was looking at my compensation at work and the shit that I was getting paid in 2018, 2019, that, bruh. The shit I was getting paid in 2018 and 2019, my nigga, if I was getting paid that right now, I would be fucking homeless.
Wow.
Like, no ifs, ands, like, no, not even no, I would be fucking homeless.
Wow.
This shit is so, I couldn't even believe it. Looking back at what niggas was getting paid in 2018 and 2019, pre-fucking COVID, my nigga, you can't look at your old compensation and even fathom that was fucking reality. Like, everything was just so different back then. And I truly think that's what we look on, that's what we hold on to when it comes to this upcoming presidential shit. Like, yo, Trump may fucking win again. Because Biden, we don't truly feel like he did anything. And also, that nigga became president probably the worst time in fucking human history.
Wow.
Dude became president, shit was just over. Like, the world stopped type shit. So I don't know, man. I think this Trump situation gonna be very, very interesting, bro. So let me know, all the friends of the show. Do y'all honestly feel like, do y'all think in any way that the us wanting to just run back to pre-COVID or missing pre-COVID life, do we think that has any way helped the viewpoint on possibly voting for Trump in the upcoming election? Let me know in the comment section on the DMs, man. Let me know what the fuck going on, man. But moving on, I want to get into this crazy ass story, man. You know, I'm not a social media guy. So the times I'm on social media, I'll be honest with you, the amount of things that are negative that I come across, it's very weak sauce, I should say. I say that because the things I truly see is what twerking all motherfucking me day, skits. You know what I'm saying? Shit that's just funny, Marco, Drewski. A lot of, like, stupid shit, right? That's what I see on my social media all day. I'm not someone who's in a rabbit hole on their fucking social medias and stuff like that, TikToks and stuff like that. So I don't see a lot of the alarming shit that when I finally come across it, it blows my mind. Like, how the fuck is this shit even possible? But I have to understand that that's a whole other side of social media that I'm just fortunate enough to not have anything to do with. I bring this up because there was this guy on social media, on TikTok, named The Inquisitor. I want to say rest in peace to The Inquisitor, because The Inquisitor was a cosplay, Call of Duty Ghost cosplay guy on TikTok who live streamed and stuff like that. And he had a big following. That's a whole side of TikTok I know nothing about. Cosplay, come on, man. I don't know what the fuck those kids are doing over there. This guy was 23 years old, man. He killed himself live on TikTok because he was being falsely accused of being a pedophile.
Wow.
The reason why we are so comfortable with saying falsely accused is because there's proof, there's evidence of a witch hunt that was created by other people in this community. One named Keegan's Mask, I believe, and her boyfriend or her friend, I believe, and her friend's 17-year-old girlfriend, they all got together, conspired. They plotted on this young man. They plotted on this young man to get communication with him. Anything that even looked risque or like him flirting, they twisted it, spun a narrative. Even when he was obviously didn't want anything to do with the situation, he caught on to it. But they started to, once certain shit is put out there, the negative, and I mean, a narrative can be spun, it start fucking spinning. And once they start doing this, this young man at 23 years old, man, he killed himself live on fucking TikTok.
Wow.
You know, I just, There's so many layers to this shit, bro. Like, there's so many layers, man. you have the social media portion of it to where people want that acceptance. They look at that view number. You said, I'm live streaming right now, my nigga. I'm live streaming right now. I'm trying my best to look at the fucking view number. But when people get that love, that attention, them donations, that shit drives them, bro. And that's what they start to live for. That high, you know what I'm saying? It's that high of saying, oh my fucking God, all these people watching me. They think I'm entertaining. They donating to me. It's a high to that shit. And when out of nowhere, when you know you done nothing wrong, when out of nowhere this hatred, this seed of hatred gets placed in your fucking life, accusing you of being a pedophile, putting it out there in the universe, in your comment section. Now people are believing it. When that starts to happen, and you've been living only for this high every day to get up in your uniform, to fucking perform in front of these people, and these people loved you Monday, but by fucking Thursday, they're on your ass, buddy. They're telling you you're a pedophile. But I've never experienced anything like that, and I pray I never do. Recently, I was a victim of a hate crime, and it pretty much hurt. That shit hurted me bad, brother. I'm gonna be honest with you. Like, in ways I didn't think it would. And still to this day, I'm still fucked up about the shit. I don't even know what it would be like if motherfuckers was out here plotting on me, spinning narratives to people talking about I'm a fucking pedophile. That's crazy, brother. So on one hand, when I say I don't understand how Nick can get on live and kill himself, I do get it. I do get it. Because that's what he was living for. That's what he was living for. He found his thing. Look, as silly as we may think it is, he found his fucking thing. He found what he think he should be doing. It's a lot of money in that shit, man. He found what he think he should, what he thought he should be doing, and motherfuckers can rob him of that for absolutely no reason. There's no reasoning to why they did it. They just did it. They literally just did it. There's no reasoning. There's no proof of this man being a pedophile. They literally just did it. It seems random as fuck. And the sad part is, there's so much proof. What do we truly think is going to happen to these people? There's an outcry on social media for these people to be locked up, at least for manslaughter or something, because they definitely aided to this young man's suicide. They plotted. They made some shit up. They have the proof and the messages. Like, they have the fucking evidence, and you have these people who are the suspects deleting their accounts, making their accounts private. That's not good enough. Because that young man can't do any of that shit. He's dead now. Now, whether or not you think you the one who put the gun in his hand, okay, maybe not. Maybe you're not the one who pushed him over the motherfucking me cliff. But goddamn, you the reason he got his ass up on that motherfucker. You the reason he picked up that motherfucking me gun. This shit is sad, man. To his family, his friends, everybody he impacted on social media, who... You know what I'm saying? If you love this content, man, I send my prayers and condolences, man. Because I'm all for pedophiles being caught. Get them niggas the fuck out of here. You know where they deserve to be. But for a motherfucker to be innocent and just living a life and doing their own fucking thing, as silly as dressing up in cosplay, as silly as that, you got millions of people being able to want to watch you do that shit, and for some fucking reason, some hating ass motherfucker, not only they not just hating and reporting your page, these motherfuckers is conspiring to get a narrative out there that you're a fucking pedophile? Are we serious? From raid, from getting people's house swatted to this shit? I don't understand these new generation of people, man. This shit is wicked, dog. I don't want no fucking parts. I don't want nothing to do with that shit. That shit is scary as a motherfucker. Rest in peace to the Inquisitor, man. Real motherfucker we talk, right? But moving on, man. Let's get into Justin Timberlake right fast. We wrap the podcast on up. Yo, I think Justin Timberlake may be Neo himself. You know, like,
wow.
Like, dodging bullets and shit. He was like just doing the shit, like doing it well. news came out. Britney Spears, well, a memoir, I believe it was. She revealed that her and Justin Timberlake were pregnant. And they agreed to have an abortion.
Wow.
Look, I don't want to comment about the abortion side of it. I don't really have any harsh beliefs into abortion. I can honestly say I've never been in that situation to where I had to have, had to get an abortion done with a young lady. I've never been in that situation. Do I believe in it? I believe you should do whatever you feel is the best for you and your guys' family. And that's for both, for the father and the mother. They both don't feel they're in the right position to have kids. I have no problem with them making that decision. Now, I do believe if I ever made that decision that it would have to be something that I feel comfortable with living with for the rest of my life. Because even if you feel you're not in a position to have a baby at that moment in time, say 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, however the fuck late years later, you do be in a better position. I think you will be thinking about the life that you could have been raised, helped raise and watch grow into this beautiful person. But like I said, I have no ill wills for anybody who does those things. So I want to make sure I say that before I even give my commentary on this, because abortion is a serious topic in this country. A lot of people don't believe in it. I don't really know if I believe in it or not, to be completely honest with you. That's why I don't have any ill will towards people who do it, because I don't even know how I feel about the shit, because I've literally never had to make that decision. Luckily, hopefully I never truly have to make that decision, right? But for Justin Timberlake and Britney Spears to get an abortion, I think we have to be honest with this, man. And we've seen Britney Spears dance on live with fucking knives and shit, with some fucking one inch fucking pantyhose. We've seen Britney Spears get smacked up by Wembanyama security.
Wow.
We've seen Britney Spears reveal herself as someone who's not all the way there over the years. I think it's safe to say Justin Timberlake dodged one hell of a bullet.
Wow.
Look, Kevin Federline, I don't know how Kevin Federline's doing. We know K-Fed came up in life. K-Fed got the bag off this bitch. We know what K-Fed did. Justin Timberlake is Justin Timberlake. Like, that nigga, look, I just watched the Mr. Beast video last night, and Justin Timberlake was in the video. I was just sitting back like, yo, Justin Timberlake is a cool-ass white boy.
Wow.
All the white boys we've been introduced to in this whole industry shit. Like, even like Tom Cruise and Johnny Depp, like, they're probably the other cool white dudes. But when it comes to fucking Justin Timberlake, bro, I don't think it gets cooler. It's Justin Timberlake, Rob Dyrdek, mother me, Tony Hawk, you know what I'm saying? Them three niggas, they're just fucking amazing type shit, right? I think Justin Timberlake, that was probably the best fucking decision he's ever made in his fucking life. I don't know if he has kids. I don't know what Justin Timberlake does outside of music. But I think that was the best decision ever. I'm not trying to minimize a child's life or anything, a baby's life or anything like that. I think a lot of times we don't think about the ramifications. You know, I just said we look back in like 2020, before COVID, we all just look back to that time and be like, damn, we wish we was back then. For a nigga like Justin Timberlake, let's look at who he is today in 2023. Do we really think Justin Timberlake would be what he is today? Today, if he was tied to the hip with Britney fucking Spears all this time?
Wow.
Do we really believe? Let's just keep it. Let's just be real about the situation, y'all. There's no fucking way. She couldn't even make decisions on her own, fam. She's that far off, my nigga. She couldn't even make her parents had to do it. We thought they was in the wrong for that shit. We all starting to understand, nah, Britney ain't there. Britney is fucking off, my nigga. And it's okay. She deserves to get all the help she truly motherfucking me deserves. But to think that Justin Timberlake would have had to be with that? We're not even getting to the baby part of it. We're not even getting to hoping the baby's safe and sound. I'm just saying, for that nigga's career, his mental, come on, my nigga. Fuck no. Ain't no Magna Carta Holy Grail with motherfucking me Britney Spears in the household. Are you serious? Are you serious? That's JT, man. Ain't no what's the movie my nigga was in? All the little movies he was in. Ain't none of that shit going on with Britney Spears in the household. It's a total different fucking lifestyle for this nigga if he got kids by Britney Spears. I'm sorry. That bitch is off her rocker, man. And I don't know, man. Like, back in the day, I think she had a lot of motherfuckers fooled, man. Because even when I look at old pictures of Britney Spears, she don't look as crazy as she do now. Now, granted, she is white, so when she get older, she gonna start looking bad as fuck. But I don't think that she looked that crazy. Maybe that was just a young, innocent face or something. But it's like now, you can't look at Britney Spears and tell me you don't think she's crazy. Even if you don't know her fucking story, just looking at Britney, nah, man. Britney's fucking off it, bro. The same way Left Eye was fucking off it, you can look at Left Eye and tell Left Eye was something fucking serious to deal with. I can look at Britney Spears and tell that bitch, you don't want to fall asleep around Britney Spears, bro. You're going to wake up, she's going to be laying on top of you with a gun in your face, just smiling on some Harley Quinn type shit. Those are the vibes I get from Britney Spears. Straight Harley Quinn type shit. And I don't think JT would have been successful dealing with that shit. Real motherfucking me talk. Before we get up out of here, man, last topic, man, before we get up out of here. You know, it's football season, man. Big football season going on. This is a very awkward football season. You got Patty Mahomes kind of struggling, you know, so throwing the ball. Burrow, you know, he's struggling throwing the ball. He was hurt, but he's still struggling throwing the ball. He can run a little bit, but he can't throw the ball for some reason. Jalen Hurts struggling, you know what I'm saying? Who else? Aaron Rodgers got hurt 4 plays into it. We got a Russell Wilson. This shit is just ridiculous at this point. It's been an odd season. Like, Philly still, they look decent. They still winning games. They lost they last one, but they still winning games. San Francisco still like San Francisco, but they just got hurt with Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel. Don't know how serious those injuries are. But you have the Lions who look good. It's like the Lions are good and everybody else in the NFC kind of look a little crazy. The Niners just got a little banged up, so we truly don't know. They should have won the last game if the kicker made the field goal. But it's still like we just don't know type shit. Until I see Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel line up in the next game and they good to go, I'm still going to be questionable until I get some more information. The reason why I bring this up is because we have something going on down there in Miami. But all this weird shit going on, this probably is the weirdest shit of all. Tyreek Hill is on pace for like 2,500 yards.
Wow.
I'll repeat that. Tyreek Hill is on pace for 2,500 yards.
Wow.
But his quarterback isn't someone who has a can of arm. His quarterback isn't the most, you know what I'm saying, on point laser ass nigga. His quarterback has a fucking pellet gun 4-4-4 arm. And he's all about timing, which is, you know what I'm saying, it's doable. But it isn't like he has a fucking Patty Mahomes. He didn't do this shit with Patrick Mahomes. It ain't like he had a fucking, you know what I'm saying, Josh Allen or something like that. He has Tua. Now, Tua did his thing in Alabama, but Tua gets hurt. Tua don't have a big arm. Tua's small. This shouldn't be the outcome with two small motherfuckers. Shouldn't have a small-ass quarterback and a small-ass wide receiver doing the things that they're doing. The speed right now is outrageous. The fucking defense that they're playing on Tyreek Hill makes no sense. But until they switch it up, I guess we just got to keep rolling with these highlights. The question is, that's being asked on First Take today, is Tyreek Hill a top 5 wide receiver of all time? Granted, we always know the top 3, Jerry Rice, Randy Moss, Terrell Owens. I personally think Terrell Owens is better than Randy Moss, But those are the top three. You got Chris Carter's name is usually thrown around in there. Larry Fitzgerald's name is thrown around up in there. There's a lot of people whose name is thrown around. Calvin Johnson's name gets thrown around in there. I don't think Antonio Brown, I don't think his name gets thrown in there as much as it should, because I think he James Harden his whole motherfucking career. I think that, damn, you know what, now that I think about it, I think James Harden and Antonio Brown might be the same nigga. Like, when I truly think about it, I think Antonio Brown should be recognized as one of the greatest wide receivers of all time. He's definitely one of the greatest I've ever seen. That nigga's up there. That nigga is up there. But the shit that he did at the tail end of his career, I don't think he's ever going to get looked at how he should get looked at. But I say all these names, and when you come to Tyreek Hill, we have to make sure we're not living in the moment, right? Do I think Tyreek Hill is a top five all time? I don't. I truly don't. I don't think he belongs in the same conversation with the Terrell Owens, a Randy Moss, a Jerry Rice. Those three guys are different, bro. I don't even think Tyreek Hill is better than DeSean Jackson.
Wow.
I'm being honest with you. Do we really believe he's better than DeSean Jackson? We got to think about the era that he's playing in. We have to think about these things. Do I think of DeSean Jackson, his prime right now, will be doing what the fuck Tyreek Hill is doing? If not better, absolutely. Reason being, I think DeSean Jackson probably was a better route runner than Tyreek Hill. I don't think Tyreek Hill runs a route good at all. Half the time, he don't even run the right routes. And that's not even me just trying to talk shit. He's admitting to the shit. They have the shit on fucking audio during the games. He's just running so fast out there and sitting between zones, and they playing off the nigga so much. He can make up for that shit. But do I think he's better than DeSean Jackson? Really? Nah, I don't. I truly motherfucking don't. We talk about how fast he is. Is he faster than Chris Johnson? Do we remember Chris Johnson? I don't know what they 40s rank up, but I remember Chris Johnson had like the fastest 40-yard dash like NFL history until like a couple years ago. How fast is Tyreek Hill compared to Chris Johnson? Because he's built. You know what I'm saying? He's more built. But when it's like when I think of Tyreek Hill, I think of what a Chris Johnson would be if he plays slot or some shit, or if he just caught more passes. When I think of DeSean Jackson, what a young D-Jack would do in this era, I see what Tyreek Hill do. I don't think I would ever choose a fucking Tyreek Hill over Terrell Owens, Randy Moss, or Jerry Rice. That's why I don't think he belongs in that conversation. I don't even think Tyreek Hill can hold Antonio Brown's cleats, bro.
Wow.
Antonio Brown was not big. Antonio Brown will route your ass the fuck up. Antonio Brown will go up and get every fucking tough catch. Antonio Brown put himself in harm's way and usually came out on top unless it was Vontaze Burfict. I don't think Tyreek Hill is fucking with AB. Do we think Tyreek Hill is better than Julio Jones? Look, I don't think Larry Fitzgerald is one of the best receivers I've ever seen. I think Larry Fitzgerald is in there because of his longevity and his consistency. I fuck with Larry Fitzgerald. I don't think there's a football player who doesn't fuck with Larry Fitzgerald. But do we think Tyreek is better than Larry? That's why I say I don't want to be caught in the moment. You know what I'm saying? Because I remember D-Jack. I remember D-Jack taking the top off the defense even as late as, what, a year or two ago? I remember that shit, man. And when you get into wide receiver, you got to start talking about consistency amongst the years. You got niggas like Mike Evans who ain't never had less than 1,000-yard receiving yard season. That's amazing. In his entire career, that's never been done before. So no matter where you want to rank him in your top, he going to be in the top 15 at least, just off that shit alone. If you going to put Tyreek in that motherfucker just based off speed, I don't know. I don't think I can roll with you. If he was a much crispier route runner, absolutely. Absolutely. But also, I've seen Tyreek Hill get schemed out, and a lot of times that usually happens in the playoffs. That's why I'm not. That's why until I see Miami do it, when they get cold weather and shit like that, when it's a little slippery on that motherfucker on that turf, that's when I want to see Tyreek Hill and the Miami Dolphins do what we see them do against the Broncos, 70-20s and shit like that. Let me see y'all perform when the shit's on the wood and it's fucking chilly outside. Because as silly as that shit may sound, every fucking year, no matter who the players are, it's the same shit every motherfucking year with the Miami Dolphins. As soon as it start getting chilly outside, them niggas start looking real vulnerable and shit like that. But I do think Tyreek Hill is one of the most explosive and polarizing players in NFL history. I do think he's probably the most dangerous player in the NFL right now, just because he just seems that once he gets in front of you, which you know he is going to get in front of you, it seems like it's over at that point in time. Unless you catch him on an angle, he running across the field or something like that, you're not getting him on no go routes. He not slender, so he a solid nigga, so he not scared of contact. He's a gamer, bro. He's a true motherfucking me gamer. I just don't know if we just caught in the moment, because D-Jack was a motherfucking me problem. He truly was. But I think that's all we got, man. Let's run through. Let me make sure we still connected, man, on the stream. Let me see. I ain't get to none of these comments. I ain't get to none of the motherfucking me comments. But I think that's all we got, man. Let me just make sure we ain't missing on the motherfucking me docket. We got, is Funny Marco a victim or is it soft ass nigga? Is DJ Envy, is he the reason the Breakfast Club will fall? The beef the 76ers don't want you to know about, the Harden versus Oubre beef. Waka Flocka is growth and growth is him. Rest in peace to the Inquisitor once again, man. Send my prayers and condolences to his family, friends, people that tapped into his content, man. I truly send my prayers and condolences. It's a very, very sad situation. Also, we got Justin Timberlake, man. He dodged a motherfucking bullet. Is he Neo himself? And is Tyreek Hill a top five wide receiver of all time? Yeah. That's all we motherfucking me got, man. With that being said, DJ, drop that fire ass beat, my boy. Great episode, man. Episode 181. Deadline between the beats and Saturday. Great ass episode. Shout out to everybody who got into the conversation. I appreciate all love and support. People that's catching on the live stream, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, whatever the fuck you're trying to do. Support on one of the platforms as well. Tapping on DSPs, Audio Max, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and I appreciate all of them. Episode, what time is it? It's 8:30 at night. I don't know, man. It just feels good to be back in here recording, man. A lot of shit going on behind the scenes, man. Some motherfuckers I thought was solid. It just ain't as solid as I thought they would be, man. I can't fault them for that shit, man. It's just, I don't know. I'd be expecting motherfuckers to be a certain way because I'd be a certain way. And as much as I try to tell myself that it's impossible for them to be the same way as me, I always fall into the trap of expecting more from people. And even if my standards really be set low, and even when they set low and they still don't meet those standards, bro, it's unfortunate. You know, it truly is unfortunate, man. But sometimes you gotta let them birds fly, man. Let them fucking birds fly, man. But with that being said, great episode. I appreciate all y'all tapping in, man, on the live stream, man. Fuck with y'all in the comment section. Fuck with all the subscribers to the channel, man. I truly appreciate y'all. Let's keep building shit up, man. Let's keep running shit up, man. You already know the fuck I give it up. Ode to the motherfucking me, G. Thin line between genius and insanity. Episode 181. On the grind 200. You know how the fuck I give it up, man. We out this motherfucker. Peace.
Welcome to Raw is
OG. Hatch, man, you know the fuck it is. Nigga, play on me, man.
You dig?